The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. It's a truly beautiful and instructive image that Jesus gives us here, that he is the vine and we are the branches. Just one note about the scriptural heritage, the scriptural reference that Jesus is making here in his vine and branches imagery, is that God is the one who planted Israel as a vine. When Jesus then says he is the vine, he is saying that he is the new Israel. And if you want some part of the new people of God, as his audience desperately would have wanted to be, then they would have to find themselves grafted into him. That's how they would have life as the new people of God, is to find their life in Christ. And Jesus says to his disciples that they have this life. They have found their life as the new people of God in Jesus. Now, how many vine dressers do we have here today? That many? Gardeners. Yeah? Roses. No one can grow roses, yeah? I see some nods. It's good. It's a delicate work. Look, I'm a big faker, right? So I'm not a gardener myself, but I'm going to tell you all about gardening now. You want roses, you can't just let the bush grow of its own accord. You want vines that bear good fruit and abundant fruit. You can't just let it grow by itself. Because the vine will grow as it pleases, and it will grow this way and that. The rose bush will start to even grow in on itself, and branches that bear no fruit and never will bear fruit grow over some of the branches that would otherwise bear fruit and deprive those branches of light and of needed resources. If you let a rose bush grow by itself, you may end up with a lot of roses, but there'll be like these small kind of scraggly roses that you wouldn't want to give to anyone, right? But if you trim it and you take out what would otherwise deprive the good flower-bearing branches of nutrients, then you can end up with half dozen of the kind of roses you may want to give to your wife, right? So we need to know how to grow roses, even just for that, so that we know which ones we can give away and which ones we can't. But here, just how intimate a work that is, just how intimate the work of the gardener is to be able to see, identify which branches will flower, which branches will bear fruit, which ones won't, how to move and manipulate them so that they have exactly what they need to grow. Okay, and even if we take a step back away from that image, we can see that it's the gardener or the vine dresser, and so God himself who has in his mind the purpose of the vine. Because you could say to me, Father, I like scraggly, dumpy little roses, and so that's why I let my rose bush grow in on itself, and it doesn't look pretty to you, but this is what I like. I would say, okay, you're crazy, right? We should all like good roses. But it's in the mind of the person who is tending the vine, who's tending the rose bush, what he wants to produce. And he is then determining what is good fruit. We are, as the vine, we don't get to determine what good fruit is, what a, say, flourishing human life looks like. That's God in his design, his intention. It's written into our nature, so it's not as though it changes. But it's God who gets to say what the fully flourishing human life looks like, what a fruit-bearing branch looks like. We're the vine. We're not the vine grower. And we allow God the Father, who is the vine grower, to prune us in that delicate, intimate work of his, to prune us so that we may bear fruit of the sort that lasts, fruit that is a fully flourishing human life, fruit that is God's original design for who we were made to be. How do we allow that to happen? My friends, we have to find our life in Christ. By virtue of our baptism, we have life in Christ. We share in God's own life. And we strengthen that life when we come before him here in sacrament, when we make the church's prayer our own, when we pray privately to God. We speak our hearts to him, and we await his word of love and life to be spoken into our hearts. And we see this toward the end of the passage. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. If we find our life in Christ, if we share with God a vision for what our flourishing life looks like, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then we can ask God for the flourishing of our endeavors, because they are his endeavors at work in us. He's promised us here that he will provide for us. So prayer, we can speak the deepest desires of our hearts to him, knowing that God answers every prayer. Maybe not the way we want, but he'll answer every prayer for our good. Likewise, we want not simply to trust him, we entrust ourselves to him in prayer. We want to follow him, want to follow Jesus. We want to be obedient to where he is leading us. Now, there are many ways that we could look at this, but this is our allowing God to prune us, to lead us and guide us in things big and small. Big, how is it that, Lord, I'm going to bear fruit for your world? What is the fruit, God, that you will grow in my heart and life that will nourish and sustain the people around me, that will build up your kingdom on earth, right? Those are big questions. And we ought to ask God to answer those questions in us. Perhaps not all at once, maybe, but as our lives play out before him, how he will move us and guide us, direct us, okay? But we have to then be faithful if we want to get the big answers. What's the purpose of my life? What's the meaning of my life? We ought to be faithful in the small things. And so when the Spirit speaks to my heart as I'm walking along the street here and I see someone a little bit confused on the other side of the street, and God says, Daniel, okay, he doesn't say Father Daniel. I don't know. He sometimes says Father Daniel if he really wants to get me, but say, Daniel, maybe you should go over there. Right? There's that prompting, like I know I should go over there, okay? And what's my response? Well, I don't know if I can cross the street right now. Do you know it's kind of dark? can hear some cars coming, all the excuses, right? There's a prompting in my heart. Will I accept or reject that prompting? Identifying it as the prompting of God. Right? Who knows where that leads? Who knows if that's an encounter that itself will grow fruit, whether in my heart, in the person's heart, in our lives together, in the life of our community. Only if we're faithful to God and where he's leading will we see this flourishing of the fruit that he wants us to bear. Small things and big things. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by doing what he's otherwise asking us to not do. And we can quench the Holy Spirit by not doing what he is asking us to do. Right? Small and big, and that's the nature of pruning. Not just rip out the whole branch, but to be in the hands of the vine grower. To be so close to God that he has then the ability to work in us so that he might work through us, having our lives bear this great fruit on which the people around us also can be nourished and sustained.